Hey, Becca, what's the best platform to sell an online course with?
The only answer is Kajabi. It's an all-in-one platform where you can host your course or your membership and your blog and your website and a podcast and your email all in one.
And even better, you can get a free 30-day trial of Kajabi to see why we love it so much.
See the links below or head to teachwellonline.com/Kajabi to get a 30-day free trial. And you can play around with your course, with your membership, and see all the tools it has to offer to grow your business.
If you want to teach well online, teach through imitation.
Welcome to the Teach Well Online podcast, where we believe when you teach well, you will sell more. We are currently in an A to Z series where we are walking you through every week how to show up and teach well online. Hey, I'm Becca.
I'm Chad.
And we together make up Teach Well Online.
In this episode, we're going to talk about teaching through imitation, the power of being you. There is power in being you when you're writing your course. There is power in being you when you are selling your course, and there is power in being you when you are teaching your course. And today in this episode, I'm actually inviting a good friend of mine, Nathan Mills of Beyond the Guitar, and he is actually going to talk about how he leverages imitation in his teaching and brand.
If you're not already following him, make sure you just pause this podcast. Don't get lost on his account, though. Head over to Instagram and follow at Beyond the Guitar. And if you're not already following us, make sure you do that too, at Teach Well Online over on Instagram.
So Becca, we have been working together for how many years now?
However long it's been since 2017.
long enough to look back and be like, we should deserve an award that we have been able to work in close proximity on a day-to-day basis for however many years. But I think a lot of it is because we have figured out some things about each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have figured out our roles. We figured out
our strengths, our weaknesses.
Who does what. But we have also, I think most importantly, figured out what each of us should not do.
Oh, yeah. And we stumbled into that very quickly when you first started working with me. And I say you first started working with me, even though Little Z's, I consider it was always our business. It was my business, you know, for the first, what was that, like a year and a half. You always helped me though. And so officially on paper, you became part of the business December of 2017. And that time, I wasn't really sure, and you didn't really know, like, what are we going to do together? But the premise was you were cranking out, you know, hours at the Nutcracker Shop. If you don't know what we're talking about, listen to past episodes. From you worked from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then you came home, and I worked from 3 to 5 or 5:30 p.m., and I was making more money than you. And we were like, why are we doing this? Like, we need to be smarter about this.
And
we
were like, with our strengths combined, what could happen?
Yeah. And so one of the first things I thought, oh my gosh, I just need to get this off of my plate, was copywriting, was writing emails and writing the weekly emails that we were sending to people.
And I love to write.
Oh, if you don't, you may not know this, y'all, but like Chad writes all of these episodes. We don't batch them because it takes a lot of time for you to sit down and write thoroughly. You're a very thorough person. My email style is very different from Chad's email style.
Completely.
And my audience was talking to tired moms. So it didn't take but like a week or two for us to figure out you can't speak tired mom language.
Chad does not write mom emails.
Chad cannot write my content.
No.
And so we were like, okay, you can't imitate me. Like clearly I have to take this back on. But even in other areas, like I can't even begin to imitate what you do. It's not my personality.
Right. No. And the sad part is that was just the beginning of the long list of things that I don't touch.
What are some of the things you think that like I couldn't touch?
If we get like, everybody gets this in business, right? You get disgruntled client emails. And so we've had a few of those, not going to lie, but you cannot be the first person to respond to a disgruntled email. Because
no.
I mean, I've caught you. I've walked in the room and you're like furing and you're typing. I'm like, what is happening? She's like, you wouldn't believe what this person emailed and said. I'm like, Becca, step away from the computer right now. Don't touch it.
And I take it personally because it's like, it's my baby. It's my programs. It's my courses. Like it's my words. But you do such a better job. And then you've taught, you actually, this is a great point to this podcast, is you taught our team our formula for responding to disgruntled people. You taught them like our three-part formula that now our team can imitate.
That's right.
And so that was something that you taught us. I can't, you know, I can do it. It's just not natural for me, but I can learn through the imitation.
What is something that I should not touch?
Canva, graphics, design,
that
all
is
of
the
that.
Truth.
All
You've
of that.
Caught me trying too.
And yes.
You, like, I hate it. Oh my gosh, I can feel it. Like in our current office setup, our computers are basically our backs are against each other. We're looking different ways. And so like I can feel it when Becca's coming up behind me. I almost have to hide the Canva screen now because if I have Canva open.
I'm like, what are you doing on
what
Canva?
Are you doing?
Get off.
Get off. That's not your role. Don't even touch it. And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
So he's doing a presentation today for Now Teach It. And if you don't know what that is, head to nowteachit.com. He's doing a lesson with them about course writing. And I saw Canva open and I looked at him and I was like, don't even waste your time on that. He was like, no, I know you can take it. And I did. So we know that we both have our strengths and weaknesses, but we also know, like, if I need to learn something, I'm just going to choose to imitate you. You're not going to tell me, Becca, here's the formula. Like, bah, 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 bah. You're going to show me the formula. You're going to show me how I should respond to upset clients. If I'm working on something in Canva, which we did this last night, I showed you what I was going with, and then you could imitate that by literally duplicating a slide and making it your own.
Yeah, I remember I was halfway done writing last night, and I was like, okay, Becca, go ahead, make it look great, and I'll just write the rest of it the same way that you did it, right? I'll just imitate the slides, I'll just duplicate it. But that's what we're talking about in this episode is teaching through imitation, and it comes down to this very clear understanding that we have said over and over and over again that information is not valuable online. If you think that your information has value, monetary value, it doesn't, not online. And here's why. If you're teaching online, you have competition, or you will have competition. If you're teaching online, you have AI and Google. That means that everybody has access to information. Information isn't special or unique.
Information is everywhere.
Right. So what is valuable is imitation. It's you, the power of being you.
I would love for you as you're listening to just pause and think about what courses, what books, what podcast are you listening to? And are you listening and are you watching and are you buying them to get the info from them or to try to become like them? I can think of I can scroll my Audible app right now. I have a book on how to be more human on the internet, right? By Colleen Nichols, Don't Be Weird. She's teaching you how to not be weird. And she's imitating, she's trying to give you her formula. Like, this is what I did. You should do this, right? I'm listening to The Psychology of Money. He's literally walking through, hey, here's how I have my mindset around money and it's worked for me. You should adopt this too. There's so many different areas that you can look at, whether it's fitness, health, wellness, like whatever it is. You think about the courses, the podcasts, the books that you are reading, listening to, and consuming. It has nothing to do with you wanting the info. It has everything to do with you being like, I want to be like that.
Because success doesn't come from knowing. Success comes from doing. And so when you see somebody who is successful, you want to be successful like them. You want to imitate their success. It's not about what you know.
No, not at all. In fact, if you go into wanting to have a course and your goal is to give as much information as possible, it's not going to sell because nobody cares about your information in your head. I know that's so harsh. Nobody cares about the information in your head. They care about, guess what? Who you are. They want to become more like you, which is good news because you have all the ability in the world to teach through imitation.
So let's take a look at what it looks like to teach through imitation when it comes to actually writing an online course. So as Becca just said, I'm presenting today, the day that we're recording this podcast, I'm presenting a live session to nowteachit.com. I'm teaching a session on how to actually write an online course. And one of the first things that I teach with this is that when we think about, okay, I've got to put my teacher's hat on and I've got to be a teacher. A lot of times, especially if you're not a teacher, if you're not trained in how to teach, or if you don't have any experience teaching online, you think, okay, I need to start thinking about my learners, my students, and I need to think about everything that they need to know. And there's a little bit of a danger in doing that because we sit down and we start to write all of the things that we think people should know. And then our course concept starts to evolve into something that is further and further away from who we truly are. And so the very first step when you sit down to actually write an online course is to focus on you and what you do. You don't want to think about anybody else. You don't want to think about what people should even know. You literally want to, it's almost like looking in a mirror. It's like a reflection in a mirror. You want to almost look at yourself in a mirror and go, what is it that I do? What are the things that I do that I want to show and reproduce in other people? And just make a list of that. Make a list of all of the things that you do.
That may seem overwhelming if you've never, you know, thought about like, but I do everything. I would encourage you, if you have a team or if you even have just someone that works closely with you, like a VA, take some time throughout the next couple of weeks and write down the tasks that you do. Write down the creative ideas that you have. This will help you because it's not that you're going to be teaching everything in that. However, there are going to be little nuggets that you're like, oh, I didn't even recognize the way I do this is unique to me. And so by habit tracking almost and like writing what you're doing down in your business world, it's going to help you with this list of what is it that I do and how could I begin to even write that in my course?
A clever way to think about this is writing an online course should be very similar to writing a biography. So if you are writing a book about yourself, right? It's almost like you're holding up a mirror to yourself and you're just writing about yourself. Well, an online course is the same way. You're thinking about who you are and what you do, and that's what you're teaching. It's not all about this head knowledge. It's about what is it going to take to make somebody successful to do what you do.
So when you begin to teach through imitation, the first step is to write through imitation. And you just gave us an action step of, okay, to even begin writing your course with the imitation lens, you need to be writing down everything that you do. The second step that we're going to talk about is how do you actually teach through imitation?
Teaching through imitation is so powerful because you are learning by example. So as a teacher, you can teach somebody, hey, this is how you do something. But then think about how even more powerful it is to be able to say, and now let me show you what I just taught you. Let me show it to you. So now I just took the words that I shared with you, and now I'm actually putting action behind it. And I'm showing you that what I'm teaching you, I can do it too. And I become the standard. I'm the model by which you want to aspire to.
There's so many different ways to inspire people. And when you are showing a transformational story, when you are showing before and afters, when you are giving your own testimony of what's happened to you, when you are taking people behind the scenes, when you are giving them an all access pass to what you do, there's so many different ways to inspire people and to lead them to the end result, which is imitating who you are. And there is someone we know who does this phenomenally well, Nathan Mills of Beyond the Guitar. Chad had an interview with him. And so we're going to jump to our conversation with Nathan, where he is going to guide us through what his journey on teaching online has been like as he leads through imitation.
All right. Hey, Nathan, thank you so much for joining us. I've been wanting to do something with you for a really, really long time. You're a friend, but I also like to joke around that you're my Kajabi friend because like you're the only person in my like proximity that actually uses Kajabi to teach online like we do. So it's so cool to see you like at church and be like, hey man, did you see this product update on Kajabi? Or like, did you run into this problem or whatever? So anyway, I'm glad you're here. I really thought of you when it came to teaching online and imitating because I don't think I ever see you without a guitar. Like, does your guitar have a name? Like, have you named it?
Well, you know, the fact that it's always, it does seem like it'd be going too far to name it at this point. Like, I want to make the wife jealous.
No. All right. Well, so, hey, could you first just introduce yourself? Tell us about your brand, your teaching, what you do.
Yeah. So I'm Nathan Mills online under the brand is Beyond the Guitar. In short, I take music that I love growing up, whether that's, you know, film scores, video game soundtracks, TV show themes, and adapt them to be played on one guitar with my own unique arrangements. And so that has spun off now. I teach online, teaching guitar courses, whether that's technique, as well as like teaching people how to make their own guitar arrangements. And then more recently, I've had a physical transformation, prioritizing my fitness over the last year, had a massive change there and felt the power of being coached in that realm and how life-changing that was when I was stuck for so long trying to figure it out on my own, which inspired me to want to help other men that way. So now kind of also, the Beyond the Guitar is really appropriate now because we are branching out beyond the guitar into fitness coaching as well. So just all the things.
That is so cool. And everything, by the way, your YouTube is wildly successful. Like if you haven't had the chance to go find Nathan's YouTube videos of him playing, like he's a freakishly good musician and his arrangements are amazing and it's awesome. But I never see you without a guitar. And now you're posting about your physical transformation. You are the essence of the real deal in what you're teaching. So you're not just telling people like, here's what to do, but like you are showing them like, here is what I've done. And I want to invite you into that. So could you talk a little bit about how you use imitation, probably both in your teaching, whether that's on the music front or in your coaching in the fitness front?
So I have one program on the guitar side of things that is literally just purely built around imitation. It's called the Practice Club, where the whole premise is I invite you kind of in behind the curtain and you watch me practice a new piece of music that I either have never looked at or I haven't looked at in a long time. So it's like fresh. And that's the premise. I don't create any specific, you know, content or curriculum for this. It's just like every week you come in and you jump in the trenches with me and we look at this piece of music together, troubleshoot, problem solve, and you just get to see my process from A to Z. And that has proven to, you know, it was a concept at the time where I was like, this seems like it would fill a gap that is really important for people. Because at least in the musical side of things, we teach a lot of the technique and a lot of the things that you should do, but not the how to practice, right? In the trenches, in the mud, your day-to-day grind, like how do we apply all of this stuff? But yeah, I think that kind of leads into this idea of imitation is the ultimate form. Teaching through imitation is this ultimate form of peeling back the curtain. And I think there's a lot of perceived value there for potential students. And then for your actual students, there is real massive value because they get to see you doing what it is that you're teaching. And yeah, there's a ton of value there that's been affirmed to me by my students, which has been great.
Yeah, and let's lean in on that for a second. Is from a student's perspective, I mean, without a doubt, you not just teaching them, but being able to show them and walk them through that journey, that's got to serve them well, right? Like they are probably better students just because they're getting to see you do what you're doing, other than if they're not. So like, I mean, that probably serves them pretty well.
Yeah. One of the things is like, and a lot of times in teaching, we're teaching concepts and theories and then trying to help our students see how to apply that. But in this context, we're actually in the weeds and we're confronted with real problems, like real musical scenarios where like, okay, well, how do I, you know, tackle this fingering or how do I do this? And so then like the problem surfaces first and then I get to teach and show like, okay, like here's a real application of how we can use this concept to solve that problem. And so it kind of flips the script in that sense.
Does that put a lot of pressure on you? Like, do you ever feel the pressure of like, okay, I'm taking them like for music, like I'm taking them on a musical journey, right? You just said like a really hard piece of music could be easy. Do you ever feel this pressure of like, I've got to maintain my chops, like I've got to keep these skills up? It's almost like this concept that I think sometimes people agree with, sometimes they don't, of like, you know, your students will only be as good as you, which I love to break that wall, but there is some truth to that, right? Like they're only going to measure up to what you put in front of them. So like, how do you handle maybe that discipline and that pressure in having to show people what you're doing?
Yeah. I love that you brought that up, because I agree. There's nuances to that. I think a good teacher, we should believe that to the extent that it lights a fire under us to lead our students and to really walk the walk.
Yes.
But then we should also empower and celebrate our students who then, like, you know, rise above us, right? We should hope that that happens. But yeah, absolutely. There is this, I think it's an amazing level of accountability to make sure that we as teachers are continuing to walk the walk. But at the same time, there is this level of vulnerability and authenticity that it invites in that I think is also, if you're willing to go there and peel back the curtain and show your students the real raw process, inevitably, they're going to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as scary as that might feel, like as teachers, we want to come across as like the perfect point of authority. And we don't want to show our flaws or the fact, like, you know, it's very apparent in the case of music. When we're doing these live things and I'm practicing the song, they're seeing me screw up. but the cool thing that happens is that that's scary for us. And we might worry that that will cause them to question our authority. But the reality of what happens is that is massively encouraging to them. And it makes you relatable. And it helps them see, like, okay, like, this is the path forward. Like, this person is human. They mess up just like I do. Like, they can connect with you more. And they can see themselves and their journey through you in a better light, because you're being real with them and showing them, like, hey, like, this is what it really looks like.
Yeah, it's almost like zooming out and looking more at just character development, not living in the lesson, but actually contributing to more of a journey, an educational journey and experience. How has this imitation entered your sales? So I know that it's one thing to put it in a lesson and to say, like, hey, I'm going to teach you something and let me show you how. But like I said, I never see you without a guitar, probably ever. Like, I mean, I feel like it's glued to you. I mean, everything that you're putting online, like, it's not just Nathan, but it's Nathan, the man with the guitar, and he's showing it. So you've clearly implemented this imitation in your sales strategy as well. How has that played a role?
There's a couple elements. Honestly, like, what comes to mind is like thinking about the fitness side, right? Anybody can teach theory that they've learned somewhere, right? You can just regurgitate knowledge. But when you show people in your sales copy or in your marketing, in your content, that, like, no, like, this is me. I walk the walk. This is what I do. There's a level of authenticity again that shows they and credibility, knowing, like, okay, this guy's not just like regurgitating some copy and pasted thing that he learned somewhere. Like, this is what he does. This is his life. He's walking the walk. So there's the credibility there, which is affirming, empowering for students or potential students, and trust building as well.
Yeah.
So I would say that's a huge part of that. In both brands as well. Like, I mean, the guitar, it is more, I think it's more obvious as far as, like, if you can play, like, you got to show that you can play. But I mean, same thing in fitness. You got to show, like, do you have any proof when I look at you that you're in good shape? But somehow that seems to skirt by a little bit more in the fitness world. You know, like,
oh, it's immensely motivating. Like, I see your stuff and I see the transformation that you've worked really hard to go through. And I look at that, I'm like, I want to look like that. I want to be healthy. I want to be fit. I want to be mentally strong. Like, I want to do this too, right? So, I mean, it's very, very effective for you to be out there going, like, look what I do and what I know, and I can show you how to do that. It's super inspiring. And I think it's very, very effective.
Again, in the fitness world, I have a lot of people ask me about certifications, like, what are your certifications? Which I'm very upfront and say, I don't have any.
Yeah.
Which is, like, not to play down on anybody who, my wife actually is currently going through, she wants to train women, and she's going through certification, and which is, you know, it's great. But at the end of the day, that kind of goes back to this idea that, like, yes, there can be great stuff learned there, but anybody can regurgitate what they, you know, what they learned in a textbook or what they learned from another source. And so it begs the question of, is this a bunch of theory, or is this, like, this is what you do, right? Like, I definitely believe in teaching from my life experience. And I think that's really what teaching through imitation requires, right? Teaching through imitation requires real experience and application of the principles that you're teaching, right? Like, you're telling people, do what I do because this is what I actually did that got me the results that probably drew you to me in the first place, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and in that spirit, can you share with us real quick how somebody can find you? Like, they just hear that there's this really freakishly good guitar player who teaches online stuff and he's incredibly physically fit. So how can people learn more about you, find you, actually put their eyes and ears on what it is that you put out there?
Yeah, so it's all Beyond the Guitar. All the music stuff is mostly on YouTube. So just look up Beyond the Guitar. Instagram is where I'm kind of blending the two and sharing fitness stuff and making all my current followers angry because they're like, why is this guy talking about fitness now? So be warned if you want to venture off into Instagram, but it's all Beyond the Guitar.
Last question for you, Nathan. Do you work out your fingers? Like, do you do some bicep curls with your fingers?
A little. That's the beautiful thing about the guitar playing. It's just, it's built in there. Yeah.
No, that's great. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing John. This with us. Yeah. So there is power in writing through imitation. There is power in teaching through imitation. And there is power in selling through imitation.
The good news is when you have written and you have taught through an imitation mindset, your teaching message is now your marketing message, which is a beautiful place to be. You're no longer trying to scramble for like, wait, how do I sell this thing? Because you clearly know the path because you are literally doing a course that is teaching people how to imitate what you do, that you have all of the marketing collateral you need right there.
This is one of the most powerful ways to sell any product or service, especially an online course, to be able to say, here's what I can do. Let me show you how. I mean, how many times do we see that when we look at commercials or radio ads or things like that? We see people and they're like, look at me, look what I'm doing. And I'm like, I want to do that too. That's what the power of imitation has in your selling.
I know that you guys probably all around Christmas time, don't we all get the masterclass ads? There was one in particular that I was like, oh my gosh, I would so want to watch that. And it hit me when we were talking about this episode. I wanted to know, and I wanted to see, how does Steve Martin teach improv? I want to know his secrets. I want to hear his story. I want to hear what he does because, hey, I grew up in Father the Bride. You know, that's like, I love Steve Martin, right? And so it's like, I want to hear his story and I want to know, not that I have any desire to go lead a stand-up anywhere, but I want to know. And if I were to know, I would want to know from him because obviously he's lived this journey. And so the entire masterclass like ad was him talking about his success, talking about his failures. And so you naturally want to be a part of that course because you want to learn through his success and learn through his failures and try to imitate him as best you can. For a little bit of time, I don't know if you know this, Chad. I subscribed to an app that was like $15 a month. I never used it, but I wanted to because Candace Cameron Bure, she talked about this app that she uses to stay fit. And I was like, look at Candace. She looks amazing. I want to be like that. And if she's using this app for fitness, then I definitely have to have that app. Classic case of wanting to be like someone. So you're purchasing someone because you believe that that will lead you down that path. Now, I was lacking the discipline to actually do it. But again, such amazing when you start to look at how you have crafted your writing, how you have taught your course. If you are struggling with like, what's my marketing message? It might be because you're too close to your message. And so this is where you have a great tip to invite fresh eyes. Those are just like two really silly examples in my own personal world. I'm sure as we've talked about this, you have totally identified and understood like, oh my gosh, yes, I've bought things, I've read things, I've listened to things because I wanted to be like that person or do the skill like that person. And you are no different. If you are wanting to teach an online course, whether you are a skill, whether you're a service, whether you are a speaker, whatever that is, you have something that people want to be like. And so as you begin to write and think and sell through imitation, our whole goal is to point you down that road to say, hey, people will buy this, not that.
People tend to think that information is valuable and the more information that you put in a course, the more it is actually worth.
Like the fire hose example.
Like the fire hose example. But the reality is people aren't looking for information online. They are literally looking for imitation. They are looking for success and how can I be like that? They see your success and they want to be like you. This frees you up. You don't have to be professor. You don't have to be an expert teacher. You don't have to be subject matter expert. You can literally just be you. If you haven't figured this out yet, teaching online is not about everything that you should know and imparting knowledge. Teaching online is all about imitating yourself.
I hope that takes some of the load off of you and some of that pressure of like, oh my gosh, I got to be an online course. I got to have the right information. I got to say the right thing, which really goes back to saying the right thing to the right people. You're still, what you're saying is still the process of how they can transform to be more like you.
That's right.
So if you have not already grabbed our course clarity framework, this was a great place for you to kind of tag on at the end here, because we want you to teach through imitation, not information. The problem is, if you don't even know who you're teaching this imitation to, you're going to struggle with the even writing, teaching, and selling of your course.
Grab our course clarity framework to nail your target audience and to find your teaching topic to make sure that what you're teaching is hitting the right people and it will sell. You can get our course clarity framework at teachwellonline.com/framework or in the show notes below.
I want to just put a little bow of encouragement here at the end that while you've listened to this, I hope that you haven't thought at any moment in time, like, who am I? But it is natural. It is natural to think, who am I to bleed through imitation? The thing is, if you have the right people and you're saying the right thing, you have all the power and authority in the world to be able to lead people to the same transformation that you have experienced through them in their life. You really are the real deal. You really can teach it. And we want to teach you how to teach while online. We believe everyone can teach while online.
If they know how.